Hi there. Welcome to the month of May. Glory to God. And I believe that you all are happy at the fact that the lockdown is being eased up gradually at this month. We believe that this is the month where this whole drama will end and we'll be back to meeting and fellowshipping. I can't wait to see all of you. I don't know if they will allow us to hug each other yet. Praise God. But it's going to be amazing. It'll be awesome to see all of you. I believe this month of May, you know, we may meet. No, May, we will meet in the name of Jesus. So, hey, good to see you guys. And we're starting a new series this month. Praise God. I don't want you to get tired. Look, the Word of God is never quarantined. And most of the letters that we read as the Bible today, Paul wrote them when he was in prison. So the Word of God is always still powerful. Trust me, it can still change lives no matter where you are and how you receive it. The word always works. Glory to God. So, we're starting a new series this month titled Navigating the Times. Navigating the Times. Glory to God. Because these are very unique times, these are very uncertain times, I believe it's important for us to go to the word to find out how to navigate. You know, this season reminds me of the scripture that speaks of the sons of Issachar. He said there were people that knew, that understood the times and the seasons, and they knew what Israel ought to do, and they were ahead, or they were leaders of their brethren. You know, just because they understood the times and the seasons, and they were able to navigate. And I'm believing God with you that this month of May, you know, God will grant you that wisdom, that ability to navigate these times, and you will come out on top. You will come out leading. You will come out thriving in the name of Jesus. All right. So we're going to take our text scripture today, Navigating the Times. You know, this is a very encouraging word for me, and I trust God it will also be the same for you, Navigating the Times. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. In fact, it actually starts from verse 11 and all that, but where I'm going to start reading is from verse 13. But from verse 11, it was saying that, look, these same challenges happen in time past so that we can learn in our own time. They are saying that most of the challenges that the people in Bible times faced were like preparing us for the times that we too will face challenges, which is now, which is this time. So let's go to verse 13. It says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. He said, but God is faithful. Hallelujah. He said, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you'll be able to handle it or you'll be able to bear it. Glory to God. I'm going to read a few other versions before I go ahead because this is our main scripture. You know, let me read from the TPT translation. That's my wife's, Pastor Mildred's favorite translation right now. It says, we all experience times of testing. Wow, is that not powerful? It says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. It says, but God will be faithful to you. I'm speaking to you in particular. You watching me right now. From wherever you are watching, God will be faithful to you. It says, he will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face. Did you get that? I want to read that again. It said, God will filter the severity, the nature, and the timing, glory to God, of every test or trial you faced so that you can bear it. He said, and each test is an opportunity to trust him more. I love that. He said, for along with every trial, God has provided a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is amazing. I'm going to read it again before we close. Definitely. Because I just love the scripture. But basically, let me start to share. So there are three things you need to pick from this scripture. And I won't finish it this Sunday. We'll continue next Sunday. But there are three things you need to pick and that this scripture is trying to do for us in the times of challenge. There are three things trying to do for us. Because we are in uncertain times, as you can see. We believe that this month the lockdown will be eased up and people will start going back to work, but we don't know to what extent. We don't think everything will resume back in full normally immediately, you know. And even if it does, you know, businesses will need time to catch up. It is very uncertain times. Some people have already lost their jobs in this time of lockdown. Some people had issues before the lockdown. So, you know, the lockdown didn't stop the issues, you know. Some people that had serious problems before, if your rent was due before lockdown, lockdown doesn't make your rent escape go. The challenge is still there all through the period. If you had marriage issues, it was still there. In other words, you know, it is tough times. It is just tough times. And that's what we're speaking about. How do you navigate tough times? How do you navigate uncertain times? And that's what this scripture is trying to address. And it gave us three major things. It spoke to three different parts or three different aspects, you know, that we need to pay attention to in navigating tough times, you know. The first thing it's trying to address here is our attitude. That's the first thing. You see, you can't navigate tough times without a tough attitude. You can't navigate tough times without mastering your attitude. Many people lose or win over a situation just by their attitudes. Before you even get to the real deal, your attitude has determined at what end you are going to come out. And that's what the scripture is trying to address. If you notice, the first thing they said is that there is no testing or trial taking you but such as is common to man. The TPT says, we all experience times of testing. He said, which is normal for every human being. They say it's normal. It's normal. These times of testing is normal. You know, don't overblow it. Don't make it look like it's special than it is. It is just a time of testing, and they said it's normal. Times of challenges are actually normal for all believers and for all human beings, actually. Times of testing is normal. It says common to all. Can you imagine that? We are all in this together. Nobody is finding it fun. Even the presidents of the countries, they are under pressure. Everybody is facing this challenge. It says common to all. Is it not great to know that you are not alone? You are not alone. You are not alone in this world. You are not alone in this situation. You are not alone facing this trial. He said it's common to all. It's happening to everybody. It happens to everybody at different times, different seasons. But tough times comes to all of us. So the first thing they're trying to address here is your attitude. It's your attitude. And if you don't master that attitude, like they said, your attitude determines your altitude. That was somebody said, and it's a powerful word. Your attitude determines your altitude. If you are going to float and rise above the challenges or these challenging times, you need to master your attitude. If you're already demoralized over the situation before even processing it, if you have already given up on life, if you have already, you know, defeated yourself, you already have the wrong attitude. So the key, the first thing they're trying to address scripture is our attitude. They said, hey, they said, whatever you're facing is common to man. That's what they said. Say, hey, relax. It's common. It's a common thing. You're not the only one in it. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9, Peter said there that we should resist steadfastly the devil. He said, or whatever challenge you are facing. He said, because the same temptation, these same challenges is accomplished in all your brethren all over the world. 1 Peter 5, 9. He said, everybody, all over the your brethren, your siblings, your covenant brothers and sisters, your spiritual families, they're all over the world. They are experiencing the same thing. Businesses are shut down, yes. Churches too are shut down, yes. It's been accomplished everywhere. Schools are shut down. You are not the only one facing it. Don't magnify what you are going through. What you are going through is real, but your attitude is important. Just having a great attitude makes anything bearable. Just having a great attitude makes anything surmountable. That's what they're trying to say. Same challenge that you're facing is accomplished in every other believer around the world. So you are not alone. You are not alone, guys. You must maintain that high emotional attitude. You must maintain that positivity at all times. You know, there are two attitudes, you know, that two things I'm going to major on the attitude. It says, the first one is gratitude. You must be thankful. One of the ways you master your attitude is to suddenly switch from looking at the negatives to looking at the positives. It's automatic. You can do it right now where you're sitting. If you can switch, somebody said the greatest vibrations in the world is gratitude. You don't even have to be a Christian to understand it. No matter who you are, if you can be grateful, your emotions will change, your attitude will change. I mean, you can literally switch your mood. You can switch your energy. You can switch your momentum just by being grateful. And all you need to do is to focus on what is working instead of what is not working. As in, see the positive, even in the negative circumstance. See the positive. There is a positive. One of the major statements that have been in my mind for a long time is that it can be worse. It could be worse. It could be worse. Do you know that? That whatever you're facing now could be worse? Do you know it could have been worse than this? And no matter what you're facing, there's somebody somewhere facing a worse version of that situation. There's somebody somewhere facing a worse situation than you. I'm telling you, you might not have a house, but you have somewhere to squat. You might not have somewhere to squat, but you have somewhere to stay. You know, you might not be eating what you like to eat, but you have something to eat. Trust me, it could be worse. I was just thinking and saying there were countries that were already in worse situations than the lockdown. Many of us are complaining about the lockdown, that we can't do business, we can't go out. But there are countries like Syria, Sudan, that have been in worse situations. They are facing war. Imagine they are going to have to go through a lockdown plus the worst situation that they already had. You know, there are soldiers still fighting militants right now as we speak. There are people, there are medical doctors, even you are, we are running away from people that are infected. There are medical doctors running to people that are infected. It could be worse. Maybe your own is that your business has been affected, but your body is not yet infected. So you could be worse. There are people that are dealing with the business situation plus the sickness. It could be worse. If you suddenly can see that there are still some positives to whatever you are going through, your attitude will change. So the issue is that, are you grateful or are you grumbling? Are you grateful or are you grumbling? Change what you look at. I tell this to married couples all the time that face crisis. One of the things I tell them to do is that write all the positives about your spouse. Because to be honest, I meet a lot of people that tell me all the time, I think I married the wrong person. I think I made a mistake. I want to leave this marriage. I don't love my spouse anymore. I hear those things all the time. And one of the quick exams I do, I tell them, you know, write out for me what you like about your spouse. Write out the positives. And many times we come to discover that either the positives are more than the negatives, or they are almost the same, or the difference is not much. But you see, when the person was focusing on just what wasn't working, the whole thing looked terrible. It looked like the worst marriage ever. If you can switch and just begin to look at the positive, it will change your mood, it will change your energy, and you are on your way to victory. That's what that scripture was trying to say, that let's deal with your attitude. So are you defeated or are you motivated? Are you grateful or are you grumbling? Are you defeated or motivated? You see, this whole situation should motivate you. It should instruct you. It should teach you. Instead of you being defeated, if you focus on what is not working, you'll be demoralized. You'll be defeated. I've said it over and over again throughout this period. It's not a time to binge on the news that they're announcing deaths, amount of people dying. This is not a time to be. It will demoralize many people. It will make you fearful, because faith and fear comes the same way, by hearing. Instead, look at people that are thriving in this season. Those are people you should be talking with. I actually saw someone that is in some kind of importation business. And this period, of course, nobody's importing or exporting. He has opened a restaurant. He has opened a barbecue place. Because he has to keep doing business. He has to still feed his family. You know, keep looking at people that are thriving. There are people thriving well at this time. Those are people your eyes should be on. They will motivate you, as opposed to looking at things that will defeat you or keep you defeated. So attitude is the first thing. Maybe you know, this period looks particularly bad for you. You have bills that are piling. You have staff to pay. Your business is grounded. You took loans. You know, I might not know what you're going through. It might be horrible. It might be very bad. Maybe you've lost your job. You know, listen. It could be worse. It could be worse. And if you can maintain the right attitude, you can rise up back. Gratitude simply means a great attitude. When you grumble, you will fumble. And that's what, if you look at 1 Corinthians from 11, they talked about that they murmured. They said, neither murmur ye, like they murmured and were destroyed in the wilderness. So don't murmur. Don't complain. You know, this, nobody wished for this whole thing to happen. Nobody prayed for it and nobody expected it. You know, so if you are busy complaining, if you are busy being angry and upset, your reaction time will be delayed. Your ability to see opportunities and ideas will be delayed. And that's what you need to see. Praise God. So, hey, first thing, attitude. Second thing, and I'll round up this service by that, you know, this Sunday. Like I said, I'm going to continue next Sunday. There are three things, so I'm going to deal with the third one next Sunday, you know. Second one for this Sunday, I said the first thing is your attitude. The second thing I noticed that this scripture was trying to address is our faith. Our faith. So, first one, he said, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Then after that, see what they said. They said, but God is faithful. So the next thing they try to point us to is God. They are trying to say, look, believe in God. Your God is faithful. Said, don't be downcast. Don't allow this affect your attitude. Just like James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you face diverse temptations. That means keep your attitude up. The next step after keeping your attitude up. In fact, you can describe keeping your attitude up like saying have hope. They're almost kind of the same thing. Have hope. But you see, after you have hope, the next thing is to move to faith, because hope and faith are not the same. You know this from Hebrews 11. It said faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is not hope. Faith comes out of hope. All right? When you have hope, then you can now connect with faith. For if you're already defeated, then you cannot have faith. All right? So after we have faith, after we keep our attitude up, the next thing is to believe God. I don't know if I've shared that one experiment that was done some time ago. They brought like some rats, maybe like 10 rats, for instance. They put them in water. They wanted to see how long it would take them to drown. And let's just say for illustration's sake, I can't remember the exact number. Let's just say for illustration's sake, it took them like 30 minutes to drown. They all drowned in 30 minutes. Then they... Okay, let's say, 30 minutes. Then the next, they put another set of rats, same number. Then when it was almost 30 minutes, they brought out that rat. It was rescued. Then when they had another rat they brought out was fully rested. They put it with another third batch of rats. This time, when it was about 30 minutes, all the other rats died except that one that was rescued. You know why it didn't die? Because the last time it got saved. So somehow it was believing that, look, I will not die. Something will happen. I will be saved. And it stayed and stayed and lasted. It outlasted all those other rats. He had hope and they did not. They gave up. He never gave up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If God has ever come through for you when you thought he won't come through, if God has ever showed up for you when you thought he won't show up, it's time for you not to sink with every other person sinking. It's time for you not to drown with every other person drowning. You will survive this period. You will thrive in this crisis. You will come out better than you came in, that you entered this thing. You will be among those that will have a positive testimony. You will make money. You will prosper. You will pay those loans. You will reverse those negative situations. You will reverse the losses and turn it to gain. In the name of Jesus, your own story will be different. You have hope. You were rescued when you were going to die. You were rescued when you were others gave up. You were rescued when it looked like there would be no way. God made a way for you so you will not drown. I'm here to tell you, you will not drown. Don't focus on the negatives. Be motivated instead of being defeated. And you must first have hope. That's what they're trying to find. First thing they addressed. Then they moved us to faith. They say, God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. So first thing is our attitude. Second thing is our faith in God. They had to introduce the God. You see, if they say just trust God, that's great. But they were introducing him. They say God is faithful. Say he will not allow you to go through what you can't handle. He will make a way even in what you are going through. They say God is faithful. What faithful means is reliable. He's dependable. He is sure. See, at these times, nothing else is sure. Let me just tell you for free. Nothing. Money is not sure. Dollars, they don't even know what's happening to them. Watch the news. Okay, I just don't watch the news. But, you know, if you have watched the news, America is under panic. UK, they don't know what to do. Germany, Spain, all the world powers, you know. So, look, nothing else is as dependable as God. I mean, this crisis made it obvious that, you see, God is still God. With all the great doctors, all the great science, all the great weapons that the countries have, all the great strategies, NASA, everything, this thing humbled the whole world. Everybody sat at home. Who would have thought a time would come when the whole globe, the whole earth, will actually shut down? Who would have thought that would happen? Nobody. Nobody would have. If anybody had prophesied it, they would have stoned that person. But it shows that, look, God is the only dependable and reliable person on this earth. Say, God is faithful. The second thing they're trying to address is our faith and dependence in God. Look, I don't know how tomorrow is going to be, but God is faithful. I don't know whether dollar will go up or come down, but God is faithful. I don't know whether Nigeria's economy will recover or not, but God is... Look, if Nigeria's economy doesn't even recover, God is still faithful. That means he will still rescue you. He will still show up for you. That's what it means. Now, of course, I believe God that our economy will bounce back. I believe God that things will stabilize. But you see, God is faithful. Even if it doesn't happen as fast as we think, God is faithful. Even if you are owing somebody, God is faithful. Your bills are due, your rent is due, God is faithful. They're trying to say, look, instead of looking at the problems, look at your God. Instead of looking at the problems, look at the promises. Instead of focusing on what is not working, look at the one that always works. He is God all by himself. He's the Almighty God. Do you know what Almighty means? It's El Shaddai. It means ever resourceful, ever available, ever dependable, ever reliable. He can never complain. He can never run dry. He can never run short. God is the only supplier that can never be drowned by demand. Never. There's no demand. That's what they mean by he's the double-breasted God. That means, look, with all of us still needing him, he can supply every need and still have extra. He's the only God that can do that. He's the only God of abundance, the only God of the overflow. Check everywhere he supplied, there was extra. He doesn't supply exactly what is needed. He supplies more than what is needed. When they were looking for meat in the wilderness, Moses said, you know, how can you give 3 million people meat? Where do you want to see it from? God said, is my hand too short? Hallelujah. He said, is my hand too short? Do you know who you are talking to? Do you know who you are talking to? God says, my hand too short. And you see, at that time, physically speaking, there was no way. How will you give meat to 3 million people? Where do you want to get it from? Physically, it was impossible. But guess what? The Bible says an east wind began to blow. Hallelujah. I prophesy to somebody watching. An east wind will blow in your favor. Look, I've seen it in this period. You know this period. Not everybody that was suffering. Not some people made money in this period. So you see, you have to change your thinking. You know some people prospered more than ever this period. So relax. An east wind is going to blow in your favor in this season. I prophesy it over you in the name of Jesus. Mande bokoro da basaka deria kabusata. Lebra de kadu zadaga di saka. Come on, stretch your hand towards me. In the name of Jesus, I decree an east wind will blow in your favor. It will blow opportunities. It will blow doors of prosperity. It will blow favor. Some of you will prosper now in foreign currency. You will make contacts globally. Doors will open to you that you have never imagined possible. In the name of Jesus, I decree it is so for you. That debt will be canceled. That money you are owing will be canceled. That loan will be repaid. Your creditors will give you favor in the name of Jesus. Even your debtors too, they will give you favor, they will pay in the name of Jesus. Doors of prosperity, creativity, ideas, insights, things you've never thought about before, opportunities you've never seen before, I decree that in this season, it will come for you in the name of Jesus. You will thrive, you will stay afloat, you will not drown like others that are drowning in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. So in that story, an east wind blew, and the Bible said they had quails. This was like a bird, you know, but it was a bird they could eat. So let's just say like chicken or turkey, you know. And they said an east wind blew enough quails that from the measurement they gave, it literally would cover, I don't know where you live, if you live in Lekki, like the whole of Lekki was covered on every side, four sides, surrounding the people with quails. With quails, with birds, from ground to up. As in, they said they ate meat. It was coming out of their nose. 3 million people, about 3 million people. Where on earth did they get it from? I don't know. But God is faithful. Next week, I'm going to talk about that. Many people, their problems, they're trying to say, how will God do it? That is none of your business. God is faithful. So the second thing is they're trying to say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. You serve a dependable God. The lockdown does not affect him. You see, all this prayer business was not working. He was working. He was still on. His business was on. The lockdown did not affect him. Hallelujah. If you can open your mind to that, glory to God. This will be a period of innovation for you. A period of reinvention for you. All right. Maybe your current business is going down slow. It's not making money. Listen, there are many businesses inside you. The same God that gave you that business will give you another business. The same God that opened that door, we open another door. That's the beauty of depending on God. Most times we move our faith from God to what he has done.
So when what he has done closes down, we think that's the end of God. No, the same God that made that one can make another one. When Elijah was in the wilderness, there was famine. God used ravens to feed him. After a while, the Bible said the brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing food. But that didn't stop God. God said, I've commanded the widow to feed you. And Elijah went again and that one continued to run. You see, if your focus is on God and not on what he's doing, then you always trust him and he will keep doing things. He can change the channels, but the source remains the same. He is always your source. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Come on, say it with me. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Say it again right where you are in your house. Say it loud. It's important that your spirit hears your mouth saying this. Come on, say it with me. God is faithful. Hallelujah. They're saying the rent is due. Say, God is faithful. They are saying the people looking for their money is coming to us. Say, God is faithful. Say, you don't know how to pay my staff. Say, God is faithful. Say, I don't even have what to eat. Say, God is faithful. Hallelujah. God will come through. He is faithful. He's reliable. He's dependable. It might even be a husband, or you're looking for your wife, you're looking for God is faithful. Hallelujah. You say, there are no black people where I live. God is faithful. You say, there are no eligible men where I live. God, if he needs to import somebody, he will. That east wind, it's not only quails it can blow. It can blow anything. Hallelujah. It can blow anything. Eastern Airlines, glory to God. It will bring a man for you from a far place. Glory to God. Or you'll bring a woman for you from a far place. Wherever. See, God is faithful. That's all we want to say. God is faithful. So the first thing they said, deal with your attitude. Don't grumble. Don't be defeated. Instead, be motivated and be grateful. Then the second one, they said, look, let your faith be in God. Not in Nigeria's economy, not in America's economy, not in any president, not in any government, not in any system. God is faithful. Now, God can use the government, that's fine. I don't care who he uses. He can use your neighbor, he can use anything, but God is faithful. Put your eyes on God. This will be a great time for you. I'm so happy for you. And I pray for you that your steps will be ordered. You will see new channels of creativity in this period. Wisdom will come to you. Innovation will come to you. You will reinvent your business. You will reinvent yourself. Even if you have lost your job at this time, I pray that God will show you other ways you can earn money and be sustained in the mighty name of Jesus. You will see new opportunities. They will open for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I speak over this country. I decree that our economy will bounce back. I speak even over the global economy. I decree that it will bounce back in the name of Jesus. Satan, your hand is rebuked over this globe. Your hand is rebuked over our finances in the name of Jesus. I decree it is so. Thank you, Father, that as we begin to ease up on the lockdown, we decree that there will be health, we decree there will be safety, we decree that very soon churches will start to meet, we decree that very soon businesses will start to run back at full gear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is going through a hard time, that is in need. I pray for a miracle. Lord, you are the God of miracle and you are faithful, you are dependable. Lord, we count on you to show up on their behalf, do a miracle for them, supply their need like you've always done in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to particularly also pray for those that are tithing or giving at this time. I bless you. Look, I decree that the favor of God will come upon you like never before. Every blessing of tithing, every blessing of giving will still work for you in the name of Jesus. Look, the lockdown doesn't make God go on break. He is still God. His word is still true. I decree that the windows of heaven remain open over every tither. I decree that for those that are still sowing seeds and giving, your seed sown will be multiplied according to the scripture in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You are blessed and lifted. See you next week, Sunday, in the name of Jesus. Amen.